You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It's the After Party with Chris and Richard.
Hello.
And you know what that means? It's time to talk about the second episode of Robert Kirkman's Outcast on Cinemax.
Yes, I remember when she loved me. That's the episode title.
Album.
Yeah. See, facts, kids.
And that indeed sets the tone for this whole episode, which is, whereas in the first one, we definitely saw a lot more of just an overview of what's happening, an introduction of the characters. This time, we're really taking a look back for Kyle, that's Patrick Fugit's character, on his, what happened with him and his mom.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a lot of flashbacks. Like, the first thing we see is them happy together, right? And then we see that moment that may very well be the moment when she first becomes possessed and smears herself with mud. And you're like, oh, yeah, my mom used to do that too, but she was just a hippie.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing about this episode is after the pilot, which is a very intense horror episode, you know, really built in a lot of the violence, which is, you know, one of Adam Wingard's strengths as director is like that visceral sense of like when you get punched, you can feel the bone. This a little bit more of an element of a supernatural procedural.
Yes.
It slows down a little bit, which I think is very sensible for an episode two, and starts building out the characters an awful lot more.
Yes. This is definitely about trying to find out why they are where they are because of their past.
Yes.
Stuff like I said, just alluded to before. In fact, Kyle, after, you know, who's thinking about this a lot, who literally finds, I'm never quite clear if it's supposed to be his tooth or his mother's tooth but because it looks like in the show it's his mother's tooth. In the comic, it was decidedly his.
Yeah.
But he finds it, and that kind of leads him to go to see his mom in the nursing home, who is in a coma, which makes you ask.
Not in a coma. She's catatonic.
She's catatonic, yes. Yeah. And, you know, they have no idea why. He doesn't know why. He's like, well, we know he fixed her.
Yes.
But so why is she like this? And he's kind of baffled, and he's looking around, and even though nothing's really that wrong, he kind of freaks out and is like, no, you people are awful. I'm going to take her home and take care of her myself.
What we're really establishing here is that Kyle is not the world's smartest guy.
No. He's led by his emotions.
Yeah, he's very, which explains a lot of what's gone wrong with him in the past, and his commitment now to try and, you know, he thinks he has a handle on what it is that he can do, and yeah, we now know he doesn't. he's very confused and leaping on what he believes is the solution.
Well, because, like, you know, he just had that experience in the first episode with, like, wow, I actually cured this kid. Now, that kid was fine. Maybe the demon's still in my mother, and that's why she's there. So he calls up Reverend Anderson. Reverend Anderson. Hey, explains it to her. He's like, look, we've got to at least try. And, of course, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Like, even using, like, a rather grotesque sequence of him dripping his blood into his mom's comatose mouth and nothing. You know, I think that, like, the key line of this whole episode, which really sums up where they were going with it, is the Reverend says to him, if you want to reclaim your family, you've got to let your mother go.
Yeah.
Which is definitely where this will be going, because, like, you've got to deal with all the fucked up shit about your mom in order to address the fact that your wife and wants nothing to do with you.
Yeah. we also have the first appearance of, I think this is a term we will hear again, Anderson's army.
Yes.
The Reverend Anderson has his cadre of old ladies who turn up to church, who are pretty much at this point the only people he's got left.
It made me laugh that there's the one who, I don't know if he's just clueless or if he's just being nice and trying to ignore it, but clearly wants to get in his pants.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, why don't you come over for beet salad, which would make me go, do you like me or hate me?
Is beet salad a euphemism?
It would have to be, because who would think that is a favorable thing?
I like beets.
Ugh.
Weirdo.
And, you know, at the same time in that group, you've got Grace Zabriskie, who's what? She was from Twin Peaks, right?
Yep.
Who is so dour that right off the bat, you're like, okay, something's going on with this lady.
Yeah. Well, also, you don't bring in Grace Zabriskie as just a
sweet old lady
side player.
Yeah.
She's far too established an actress, far too much of a personality. I think she's officially credited as a special guest, and you don't do that unless you want her to. And she's, I think she's at least a quasi-recurrent, they've announced.
Yes.
So you give her the special guest thing because you really want her to be, you know, somebody you're hanging a plot element off. But here, so far, she's just kind of the smart, snide old lady in the pew, and kind of, you kind of got to admire that sharpness. But she's not the only star name that has been added to the cast at this point.
Oh, yeah. Now we get Brent Spiner, who was listed on the initial credits. Oh, by the way, this is the first time we see the credits. Because I never understood why that's a thing. Why pilots you never show the credits for, but then the first episode you do. After that, never understood why that's a thing.
I find it weird that you're allowed to, because you would have thought that between all the DGA and Writers Guild and Screen Actors Guild,
They would have
you'd
to.
You'd have to. So I find that a very strange one.
Music by Atticus Ross.
Yes.
Yes, which is awesome.
Well, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I love the whole, it's just kind of the town upside down, which is like, you know, very, almost sort of a take on Blue Velvet in a way, of this darkness that is, something's wrong with this otherwise normal place.
And I don't mean to be mean, but I think these credits are, you know, knocking the very similar Preacher credits into a top hat. I really like this credit sequence an awful lot.
I do too. But yes, Brent Spiner plays Sydney. First time we see him, and we don't see a lot of him. We saw him sitting outside Kyle's house in a car, and then at the very close to the very end, appearing at, you know, his Kyle's mom Sarah's bedside, saying, "It doesn't matter how hard you fought, because we still have him."
And we now have the implication that whatever it is that Kyle did this time around, something may have worked.
Yes,
like a lot of this is clearly about Kyle trying to work out what it is that he does. We, you know, clearly his blood or his skin has some connection. But then we have our final sequence.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the most impressive other shoe-dropping moments without telling you exactly what size, shape, or brand it is.
Right. Like, you know, throughout this episode, we're seeing the flashbacks with Kyle and his mom. We see a different version initially of, like, what happens when, like, he cures his mom or whatever. But now we see what actually happens, and it appears that, like, after the Force leaves his mom, it kills Kyle.
Yes.
Like, kills him, strangles him in a noose of ectoplasm. Now, what the fuck does that mean?
He doesn't look well,
no.
Shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, presumably dead, but if so, what happened next?
Well, and also now we're building up the idea that this isn't just a couple of cases in isolation, or that they're solely chasing after whatever these forces are solely chasing after Kyle, the crucified raccoons.
Yes, yeah. As Chief Giles, and his deputy Mark Holter, who's Kyle's brother-in-law.
Well, not technically Kyle's brother-in-law, because that's not actually his sister. They were
foster siblings.
Yeah,
but you know, they refer to each other as brother and sister.
Yeah,
so whatever.
I think is a great way to take any sexual tension off the table.
That's true.
Really smartly done, because I do not want this show to do a love triangle.
I don't think that's going to happen at all there. They go out in the woods because a farmer tells them, yes, there's somebody's pegging up animals in the woods. And sure enough, they're like, that's like a grotesque as fuck moment where you see they're just all over the place and splayed wide open. And was it Giles is like, they left us a weird little trail.
That's interesting because it's a shift in the nature of the horror, because the first episode, like I said, it was much more a visceral horror. And here we have much kind of a more of a mood piece horror.
Yes.
The great thing is the story is working with both.
Yeah. It brings them out to the creepy old trailer, you know, where you're like, okay, what's going on here? There's deep, bloody claw marks in it. The sheriff's kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And Mark's like, what?
No.
This is pretty much where we're at in the show. What kind of questions do we have, which is like, what happened so long ago? Why did, like, it attacked him? Was he dead? And if he was dead, how did he come back? Also, the tear that comes from his mother's eye. She's clearly aware inside of herself, able to, you know, she hears everything that's going on, but can't react. Why?
And who the hell is Brent Spiner?
Who the hell is Brent Spiner?
We always asked ourselves that?
Well, he's Data, but still.
Few people do creepy quite as well as him. And kind of, even that avuncular creepy.
I suspect that he actually has, and he's been looking for what's next for him as an actor for a while that's going to stick. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turns into a horror icon.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That is our after party for episode 2 of Outcast. Super, I mean, at this point I'm just all in.
Oh, yeah.
For the show. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens next week. And we'll be there next week. So tune to oneofus.net as soon as you're finished watching the episode to listen to Richard and I talk about what happened.
And just beware of those ectoplasmic nooses.
Indeed.